Chapter 72. The dead god fell like a sack of wheat. Vi was trembling, but she didn't seem to have been harmed by the veer that had wrapped around her. Kylar stared at Garath Orsul's corpse, disbelieving. Kylar's destiny was dead on the floor, and Kylar hadn't killed him. The wolf had kept his part of the deal. Kylar was alive, but something felt different. Vi was staring at him, still shaking with emotion, tears still wet and hot on her cheeks. He glanced up and read shock and fear in every line of her body, along with a tinge of hope. What the hell? Since when can I see what a woman feels? Vi was spattered with the God King's blood. It was invisible against the background of her dark wet boy grays, but there was something terrible about seeing flecks of red wetness splattered in her cleavage. As Kylar looked at her, she was so distraught he wanted to take her in his arms. She needed him to love her, to lead her out of the valley of death that was the Way of Shadows. He knew the way out, now. It was love. They'd go find Uli, and he and Vi would walk that path together. Me and Vi? Her eyes went wide with fear and remorse. She was weeping. For a split second he wanted to understand, but then his fingers went slowly up to his ear. There was an earring there, a perfect hoop with no opening, and it was swimming with magic so potent he could feel it in his fingertips. "I'm so sorry," she said, backing away. "I'm so sorry. It was the only way." She turned, and he saw his last gift to Eileen, his pledge of love that he had sold his birthright for, sparkling in Vi's ear. "What have you done?" he bellowed, and he could see that his rage was amplified through the earring. As it buffeted her, he could feel her remorse and terror and confusion and desperation and self-loathing and... hells! Her love? Love? How dare she love him? Vi fled. He didn't follow. What would he do if he caught her? She burst through the main door of the throne room, and the guards looked after her, stunned. They turned and saw Kylar standing over the body of the God King. Then it was whistles and alarms and charging Highlanders and chanting Meisters. Kylar was glad for the nepenthe of battle. It blotted out a future that would never hold Eileen. It took all his attention. With only one hand, killing was actually a challenge. Lantano Garawashi couldn't stop touching the Blade of Heaven, though of course he kept it sheathed. Once a Sasirai drew his sword, he did not sheathe it without first letting it taste blood. As night descended, his men covered the mouth of the cave so their campfires wouldn't be seen by celebrating Cenarians. After conferring with the spy who'd returned from the Cenarian camp, Garawashi stood up on a ledge. In the firelight, his men's eyes glowed with destiny. They had seen wonders denied to their fathers and grandfathers before them. The Blade of Heaven had returned. Garawashi began without preliminaries, as was his way. "The Cenarians did not win this battle. That creature won it for them. Tonight, they drink. Tomorrow they will begin hunting down the scattered Caladorans. Do you want to know what we will be doing while these buffoons swat at flies?" Men nodded. They held the Blade of Heaven. They followed the Garawashi. They were invincible. "Tonight, we will gather the uniforms of the Caladoran dead. At dawn, we will attack and inflict enough losses to infuriate the Cenarians. We will draw their army east, always just slipping through their fingers. In 3 days, the rest of our army will arrive here. In 5, they will take the undefended Cenaria city. In 1 month, this country will be ours. In 3, we will return to Siora and give them their new king. What do you say? Every man cheered, but 1. Fi'ir Kusat sat silent, stoic. His face might as well have been carved of marble.